Welcome to the final chapter of Exodus on Through the Word. Peyton Jones and Chris Langham here for one last chapter, and we finally reach the end of the journey.
We made it! I love the feeling of finishing a great work. I don't know about you at home, but these audio guides represent more than a year of work here at Through the Word. And Exodus 40 is the perfect way to finish off a great project. As the nation of Israel celebrates their first year of freedom from Egypt and finishes the work of the tabernacle, it's a big day, so let's jump in at verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Set up the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, on the first day of the first month."
The first Passover occurs on the 14th of the first month, so Israel has been free for just about a year and has been camped at Sinai for about 9 months. During this time, God has fed them by manna from heaven and quail flying to the camp. They've drunk water from the rock, received the law, rebelled with the golden calf, built the furniture for the tabernacle, and woven the clothing for the priests. The work has been finished, and so Moses begins putting it all together.
Now, this is the third time we're covering the same items. First time was the directions, second time was the making and construction of each element, and now the assembly. But I encourage you, don't just read this like one more run-through of the same checklist. This is it. Everything is ready. It's time to set it up, to construct the tabernacle. As each element is set in place, as every curtain is hung, the Israelites build a place for God to dwell with his people. As you read, feel the tension building. The work may be ordinary, but the response will be extraordinary. And what will it all look like when it comes together?
Also, remember that this is their story, but it's also our story in some ways too. The Lord has called us to build our lives, our families, and our church as a place for God to dwell. And every element set out in the Old Testament tabernacle is a picture for us. Now, we've already gone over those, but here they all come together. It's time to build.
The Lord gives Moses the instructions one more time in verses 1 to 15. And in verse 16, Moses did everything just as the Lord commanded him. We will see that phrase 8 more times in this chapter. Careful obedience is key here, and then the assembly begins.
Verse 17. So the tabernacle was set up on the first day of the first month in the second year. When Moses set up the tabernacle, he put the bases in place, erected the frames, inserted the crossbars, and set up the posts. Then he spread the tent over the tabernacle and put the covering over the tent as the Lord had commanded him.
The tent is assembled first. Before the furniture can be consecrated, it needs to be placed inside. And so the four layers of the tent are placed over the newly constructed frames.
Verse 20. He took the tablets of the covenant law and placed them in the ark, attached the poles to the ark, and put the atonement cover over it. Then he brought the ark into the tabernacle and hung the shielding curtain and shielded the ark of the covenant law, as the Lord commanded him.
So the tablets of the law are placed inside the ark, both the one for God and the one for the nation of Israel. And the atonement cover is placed on top. The ark represents the covenant, the foundation of relationship between God and his people. Before it can be used in worship, it must be placed behind the veil. The Lord chose this place for his presence. The ark is now in place.
It's amazing to think of the beauty that goes into the design and crafting of this ornate ark, only to be hidden. Engraved designs, the two cherubim on top, from this point on, the only one to be able to see it is the high priest, once a year. Numbers 4 tells us that even when the Israelites travel, the ark will be covered by a veil.
With the ark in place and curtained off, Moses next moves in the three elements for the first room, the holy place. First, in verse 22, is the table of bread, representing fellowship and sustenance in the Lord. It's to the north, which would be on your right as you enter. He places upon it the bread and bowls and implements as the Lord commanded.
Next up in verse 24, Moses brings in the lampstand and places it to the left as you enter. The lamps are set in their places, filled with oil and lit, and the whole room lights up. The Lord is our light.
And then in verse 26, the altar of incense, powerfully representing the prayers of God's people, is placed in the center at the back, the closest thing to the Holy of Holies and the very presence of God. Moses sets it up and burns incense on it, with the smoke rising upward.
Every day of the year, twice a day, a priest will enter in and offer the incense. And except for the high priest, this is the closest anyone will get to approach God. I love the imagery. One can only draw near through prayer. A beautiful reminder.
Once the furniture is placed inside, the second curtain separating the tabernacle from the outer courtyard is set in place in verse 28.
At this point, most of Israel will never see the furniture again. Only the priests are allowed in the tabernacle, and even when the tabernacle moves, Levites will enter the tent first and wrap the furniture in the inner curtains of the tabernacle before carrying it away. The beauty of a year's worth of work hidden away for only God to see.
That may seem strange, but it represents a key principle in Scripture. Don't do your good works to be seen by men. Jesus tells us in Matthew 6 to do them for the Lord. Let his reward be enough. And when people do see your good works, let them be done in such a way that the people praise God. Let him get the people's praise, and let yourself be content with his praise.
Back here in Exodus, the tent of meeting is set up, and Moses moves on to the courtyard. The altar is put in its place, as well as the bronze washing basin. The courtyard curtains are hung, and the final curtain installed for the doorway into the courtyard. The tabernacle is complete.
And remember the order, just as God commanded. As you enter the courtyard, you begin at the altar, the place of sacrifice. At the cross, we are justified, made right with God. Walk forward to the basin for washing, cleansed by the water. The Lord does the work of purifying and sanctifying. And then, just a little farther in, the tent of meeting, that grand picture of heaven itself. And in heaven, we will be glorified.
This is it. Everything is set in place. In verse 33, and so Moses finished the work.
Pause there a moment. They finished the work. I love that phrase. God calls us to finish our work, and he promises to finish the good work that he began in us.
And what happens when Moses finishes the work? Verse 34, then the cloud covered the tent of meeting. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because a cloud had settled upon it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle.
Now that is glorification. And what a New Year's celebration. The cloud that descended onto Mount Sinai and descended into that little tent of meeting that Moses set up now descends onto the tabernacle. And remains. Verse 36, in all the travels of the Israelites, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they would set out. But if the cloud did not lift, they did not set out until the day it lifted. So the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and fire was in the cloud by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel during all their travels.
And in this way, the Lord leads his people. During the day, the cloud covers them, and there in the desert heat, it is God's presence that keeps them cool. The cloud bringing with it the cooling, beneficent, shade-giving kindness of God. But it frightened Israel as well, for it was understood to be much more than just a cloud that followed them. It was the visible symbol of the presence of an invisible God. With it, he showed Israel that despite their sins and their breaking of the covenant, that he was a merciful and gracious God who would be with them as they entered the promised land, who would cover them with his mercy and love.
If you've ever traveled through a desert by day, you know what blessing a cloud brings. And if you've ever known the chill of a desert night, you know what joy a fire brings. That is what God's presence brings to God's people. And I love the final sentence of the book. What a way to close Exodus. Even the last phrase, in all their travels. Something about it echoes deeply for me. The travels and journeys in my life, with my family, with my friends, and with our Lord, have been many and arduous. This life is a journey, so this picture of God leading the journey, it's an amazing one. Put yourself there, in the camp, late one night. Kids are tucked away inside the tent, and you step out into the desert air, surrounded by the vast wilderness. Thousands of tents are there with you. And there, at the center of it all, the cloud, filled with fire above the tabernacle. You can see it. You can feel its warmth. What a fantastic nightlight. That is the picture that God chose for the way that he leads his people, that he leads us. God dwells there. God with us.
And with us he is, and lead them he will. Through years and decades and centuries, God will lead his people and show them mercy and love and grace. When they are obedient, he will bless them, as his covenant promises. When they sin, he will correct them and discipline, as his covenant also promises. But through it all, his love and grace and mercy will be present with them, even to the point of sending his son to die for the sins of the people of Israel and all the nations of the world.
And that does it for the book of Exodus. Peyton, it has been a real adventure, my friend. And for you listening, on behalf of our whole production crew, we are honored to take this journey with all of you. And I can't wait to get started on the next book. So please join us again as we travel chapter by chapter and book by book, with a cloud by day and fire by night, through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.
Well, Chris, we finish Exodus. I think it's safe to say no one is a foreigner to this book anymore. What do you think?
It was a good one. I'm just sad the Cuberts are gone.
Let it be, Chris. Let it be.